In fact, I don't even know why he bothered to tell us the signs, because we'll never see them. That's why prophecy, it's funny, they're always waiting for the rapture. And they're trying to find signs that the tribulation is about to begin. Right? Instead of focusing on the signs that will happen in the tribulation that we should recognize as being signs of his coming. They're so distracted with looking for the signs that happen before the signs, which are so, you know, the fig tree blossoming and maybe 2,000 years, you know, after 2 days he will raise us up, right? On the third day we will walk in his sight. There's a obscure prophecy from the Old Testament about 2 days and, you know, 2,000 years, and it's very sketchy. You know, in the planting of Israel, oh, that's a little sketchy. That generation, is that really what it says? Doesn't seem like it. Doesn't seem like it. Not from just a very strict way of interpreting. But then again, a lot of the prophecies before Christ came, if you were to be a real strict interpreter, it would be really hard to see. It'd be really hard to see some of the things. It's a fact. That's a fact that a lot of critics take advantage of in saying that some of the prophecies are shams, you know, like the virgin conceived. Well, it doesn't say a technical virgin. It says a young maid, you know, and all that kind of nonsense. Doesn't really make a difference after the fact. Because with 20/20 hindsight, we can see what all the prophecies were. But to be able to see ahead of time, that's why the book of Revelation is important for us to know what's in there and to understand what it means. Now, I can't interpret every symbol in the book of Revelation, but I can tell you what the things and what we are given in the book of Revelation, what it means to us, and how we need to apply this to our lives. Because it does apply to our lives. It applies to our future. So we got to watch. We want to be watching. We want to be running the race. Watching, be diligent, run the race. There's all these sort of words of activity. You know, not sleep. They that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken, be drunken in the night. We need to watch. We need to be aware. We need to use speed. Verse 43, but know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. You know, if the man who is watching over the house knew ahead of time, if the master of the house knew when the thief was coming, like, oh, there's going to be a thief at 4 a.m., he would know. Now, some people have mistaken this idea about the thief to be the Lord. The day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall melt, you know, and so on and so forth. The day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. But it also says, I'm thinking of 1 Thessalonians, which is another end times epistle of Paul. It's got some information about the end times, and you should go to my study on 1 and 2 Thessalonians. If you haven't already, yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night, unexpectedly. That's what it means. It comes when people don't expect it. But wait a second. He just said, when you see these things come to pass, know that it is near. You should see it coming closer. Because we are watching. We are aware. We see it coming. But what does he say? When they shall say, peace and safety. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the third verse. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape, as labor comes suddenly. You know, the labor doesn't, you know, just a little here, a little there, and then increases. That's not what he means. It means the actual pains of the final travail. Analogies aren't always exact, you know, as travail on a woman with child. Now, try to read so much into that. It says suddenly, you know, so let's just figure that out, right? Sudden destruction. Verse 4 is very important in 1 Thessalonians 5. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. It is on those who are in darkness that the day comes as a thief. The Lord does not come as a thief to his church. He comes as to his chosen. He comes as a thief to his enemies. Because he is not a thief to us, slinking around in the darkness, sneaking up on us. No, he has told us all things. Behold, I have told you all things. I told you before. Learn a parable of the fig tree. You, when you see all these things, know that it is near. Even at the doors, you better see it coming. You better be watching. You better walk in the light. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. You're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. That's what Jesus says. Watch and be sober. Do not suffer your house to be broken up. Do not suffer yourself to be deceived. Do not suffer yourself to to suffer like those who have let their salvation go, who have not pursued the things of faith, who are absolutely going to be disappointed when Christ returns and they say, Lord, Lord, have we not? Have we not? And he says, I do not know you. I do not know you. Get away from me, you workers of iniquity. They sleep. They sleep in darkness. They walk in darkness. They know not. They don't see when it's coming. The Lord couldn't come at any time. You know this idea that Jesus could come at any time? It's a lie. It's a lie. Jesus could not come at any time. Jesus can't come today. Jesus Christ will not return today. He will not return tomorrow. He will not return next week. There's not enough time. We've got to see the signs. The branches got to come forth. The leaves got to show themselves. The signs have to be shown. The testimony has to be given. Jesus Christ is not coming tomorrow. He's not coming next year. He's coming after all the signs have been performed, after all the works have been done, after the testimony be given, after the prophecies be spoken. Therefore be ye also ready, for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. He comes when people don't expect him to come. And we don't know when he's coming either, but that's why we have to be ready ahead of time. Now we know things have to happen. You know, it's like the thief comes, but we watch all night. Now, he's not coming to us as a thief, so don't take that analogy too far, right? He's coming to them as a thief, and they're sleeping. We are watching, because the thief that is coming is Satan. He's our thief. And we see him coming. Here he comes. Watch him. He starts coming. Get ready to catch him when he comes in. Guns at the ready. What we need to do is be ready ahead of time, before the activities of the night begin. Get ready at night. Let's get a candle. Let's get some oil. Let's get something to keep us away. Let's brew up some coffee. Let's get our flashlights ready. Make sure we got good batteries in them. Make sure your gun is loaded. Do we have a little extra ammo? I don't mean literal guns. I mean our spiritual weaponry. Is our sword sharpened? Is our armor in place? You know? Is your helmet available? Are you ready to put it on at a moment's notice? Are you ready to gird up your loins? Are your loins already girded up? Because when the battle comes, it's coming in the night. When the battle comes, it's coming from the darkness. The thief is coming. We don't know when the time is coming. So we better be ready. We better be getting ready now. Be ready ahead of time. Be prepared. Know the word of God. Resist temptation. Learn now. Let's partake of the divine powers now so that when the time comes, we're ready to serve him and ready to shine forth as the light. Verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in his due season? I want to be a faithful and wise servant, ready, prepared, exemplary.